Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. We are waiting for Dan Swanson to join us. But while we're waiting, let's talk a little bit about what we're going to talk to Dan about, and that's trolling for walleyes and trout. This time of the year, a lot of people think that the bite changes and that the fishing is different. And Dan's there, so let's just go to Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Morning. How are you?
Doing great. I didn't know you were on yet. We had a little communication gap there. So
I've been listening to you for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, we had a trivia question that always screws things up. We'll blame Schweitzer for that.
Okay.
But this time of the year, a lot of times, well, starting probably in about July, a lot of people think in a lot of situations the fish don't bite, because you and I both know that their habits change, the way they feed, the bait fish move, the water levels change, and it moves those fish. And it isn't that you can't catch fish anymore. It's just you're probably not going to catch them throwing a jig on a point or working a drop shot or something, because the fish may be in different locations. Is that what you think is happening out there now quite a bit?
Yeah, especially right now. You know, as the water starts to drop, those fish that were either hanging out in weeds or maybe hanging on a hump or a point, they start to move, especially when the water drops, because all of a sudden their cover's not in water anymore, right? And our lakes, most of our lakes here in Colorado and Wyoming, are shad-based impoundments, and those are roaming bait fish. And those walleyes and trout and bass and everything else is going to be out there chasing those roaming fish. And some of them, you know, if there's enough of them, the fish just suspend and inhale, and they can feed. So in order to find those fish, I think the easiest way to find them is to cover as much water as you can with baits that are similar to what they're feeding on.
Now, all I have to do is throw something out behind the boat and drive around, right? There's no science to it or any techniques, right?
And sometimes you get lucky like that, yeah. So, I mean, I try to match, you know, I try to pick something, a bait of some kind that's got a similar profile and vibration to what the fish are feeding on. I'm also need to get into the right depth zone. As you know, that probably the most important thing above anything else is getting your bait at the same level as the fish that are feeding.
Now, I was obviously kidding. We can troll around at different depths, but a lot of times you can drive around with your electronics and sometimes you can see the fish, but sometimes they're so shallow it's difficult. And depth control is really critical, and probably speed after that. But suppose I've got the lure that I think is the right bait, but it doesn't necessarily run as deep or where I need it to run. There's techniques I can use to adjust the depth of that lure, isn't there?
There are. A person could fish with – you could use lead core line to get your line down to where you think you need to have it. One of my favorite ways, when it comes to suspended fish, I would rather use a snap weight, which is just a 1 to 3 ounce weight that snaps onto your line above your bait. I would rather be using that than lead core, because I can get it out a lot quicker. Lead core is great if you're following contours or if you're fishing close to the bottom or maybe over the tops of brush and you don't want to get snagged. But if I'm out over suspended fish, I'd rather use a snap weight, because I can get that line out of my reel and get it to the depth I want much, much, much quicker.
Now explain to people how a snap weight works.
A snap weight has a clip on the end of it that has either rubber pads or some sort of a material on it that you can snap it on. It's kind of like almost like a clothespin, and then it'll have a heavy weight hanging off the bottom of that. So what I generally will do is I'll run out, I'll put out a crankbait of some kind, say 50 feet out. Then I put on my snap weight, and then I can run either another 50 feet or 100 feet or whatever I need in order to get it to the right depth. And then if I'm running planer boards, I can snap on a planer board. I can also just stick in a rod holder and have it hang off the back of the boat. Now you need to adjust either the amount of the weight or the amount of line you've got out to figure out your depths. There are charts available for that. There's applications available for that that you can find on the internet that'll tell you at what speed that snap weight will run at what depth.
Now, a lot of the trolling right now for walleyes and trout are shallow because the shad are coming up close to the surface. What about if I want to keep that bait from going too deep or get it away from the boat? You mentioned planer boards. That's a great way to do it. How do you approach that? Is it the length of line, the diameter of line? How do you approach keeping it shallow?
So all of those things matter. Generally, when you get a bait, let's say from Berkeley, like a flicker shad, in the package it actually has a dive curve in it that will tell you that for 50 feet of line, that particular bait might be running 7 feet deep. So if I have a line counter reel, I can go out 50 feet, attach my planer board to it, and I know that that's going to be running at that depth. If I don't have a line counter reel, I can count. If I know my rod is 6 feet long, let's say, and I point it back at my bait, and I sweep the rod forward as I let line out at the same time and then drop it back while I hold the line, I've just now dropped 12 feet of line, and I can count the number of passes, and that'll get me fairly close. Other things you can do is if you want to run at, say, 10 feet, your depth finder says that you can find an area where it's 10 feet. You just drive along, letting out line until it starts ticking bottom, and you know, and then mark the line with a Sharpie, and you know that that's going to be at 10 feet. So there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Line counters and planer boards and that equipment is obviously the easiest way. If I want to fish for those high fish that you talked about earlier, the small shad, the young of the year shad, are generally up in the top of the water column. And as you mentioned, you're not going to see them on your depth finder. So I always run a small bait, like a number four flicker shad or a number five, say 20 to 30 feet behind my planer boards, and I know I'm going to be up in that upper range. I also want to run those boards far away from my boat as I can, so that the boat doesn't spook those fish.
Now, it's really important when you're pulling crankbaits to be above the fish rather than below them, isn't it?
Yeah, the fish typically won't feed down. You need to be at the same level or slightly above those fish to get them to move. In really, really clear water, they will come up more than that, but in general, you want to be right around where you see the fish on your sonar. Really important to learn how to use your electronics. Play with the sensitivity, turn it up so you can actually mark the fish around the bait.
Now, what about speed? How important is boat speed to this?
It can be. Boat speed can be what triggers the fish. So I generally will start trolling around 2 miles an hour, and then I'll adjust my speed up and down depending on what the fish tell me. If I'm running planer boards out to one side or the other, one of the things I can do if I'm running, say, at 2 miles an hour, is I can do slow S turns. And what happens is the boards that are on the outside of the turn are going to go a lot faster, kind of like, you know, you're pulling a water skier or a tube and you whip them around. It'll go a lot faster on the outside and slower on the inside. If I'm getting bites on the outside of my turn, I know that I need to be going a little faster. If I'm getting them on the inside of my turn, I know I need to go a little slower. So as I learn what the fish want, I can crank up my speed. Typically, I go faster when the water's warm, and I drive fairly slow when the water's cold.
So if I'm headed out in the next week or so, where are a couple places you might recommend I try using some of these tactics?
Well, I think it's going to work great at Cherry Creek and Chatfield and Boyd Lake, Pueblo. Horsetooth's a little bit of a strange animal because it's got a combination of shad and smelt. And with the smelt, you'll want to be a lot deeper during the day. But at night, they do come up, so you got that ability as well.
Now, you do book guide trips. If I wanted to learn these techniques, because there are nuances that we can't take the time to cover on the radio here. Do you have openings if somebody wants to learn to do this?
I do have openings, and you can reach me at dan@fishfulthinker.com.
You know, another thing I will recommend, too, a good friend of ours, Gary Darling, and I did a couple television shows that are on my YouTube channel. We did one at Glendale early in the year. We did one at Seminole later in the year. And we use these very tactics. So go to The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, and you can see some of those tactics. But book a trip with somebody like Dan, because it just makes it so much easier when you go out with somebody, Dan, the first time and see how these techniques are put into play.
It absolutely does, and trolling is a lot more work than people think it is.
Yeah, it's usually not as relaxing as people think it is or as easy. You can spend a lot of time pulling baits and not catching fish. Dan, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, Fishful Thinker, fishfulthinker.com. They can get a hold of you guys. Always great to have you on.
You're welcome, Terry. Good to talk to you.
All right, Dan Swanson. You know, before we close out this show, there's somebody on that probably spent half his life trolling around, never getting anything, and that's Dan Jacobs. Are you there, Mr. Jacobs?
Oh, that's so nice of you. You know, I had a good laugh at your expense last week in church, Terry, because they were talking about, you know how you guys have all these fancy names for everything? Like, instead of just, you know, throwing your bait out there, it's, you got to work on your presentation to the fish. The fish like a presentation. And the pastor shows a picture of a bobber. Do you know what a bobber is, Terry?
Yep, I certainly do.
But what do you call them? You call them what? An indicator? What was there? Some sort of fancy term.
Well, we call them floats, but I call it a bobber.
Okay. Well, he was saying, like, fishermen say, no, this is an indicator. You don't call it a bobber. It's an indicator. It's very fancy.
Well, that's fly fishermen do that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I got a good chuckle out of that.
Well, I do some fly fishing. I was up fly fishing this week, in fact, and I had a visit from an elk and a bear and a bunch of other animals. So it was an interesting week. Before I let you go, though, and close out the show, any hot topic that you really want to get into this week that we want to listen to?
Apparently, we have a Hall of Famer, a guaranteed Hall of Famer, maybe the best of all time at his position on the Broncos, and he's never played a down. So we'll discuss that.
All right. Well, I think we're going to be finding out a lot of secrets about the Broncos in these next 2 weeks, don't you?
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
All right, all right, we'll close out. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We're here every Saturday from 9 to 11, and sometimes a little later because I steal time from Dan Jacobs. Follow us on Facebook, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Follow us on our YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. We'll let the Eagles finish up the show and take us to Dan Jacobs in sports on 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.